Well, we had a great week last week with the Mississippi group here. They did an outstanding job. They got a tremendous amount done in the short time they were here. Some of them worked 9:30, 10 o'clock at night trying to finish up some things. It's not complete yet, but I think we can finish it up. They did a remarkable job. If you have a time this next week to hold a paintbrush or to pick up brush, put on trim, then we could use your help in finishing up some things. We only have like 5 more weeks before school starts, and there's a lot that needs to be done. We've got to put a fence around this play area. I didn't realize there was so much area behind that house until we started cleaning it up. John, I want to thank you. Where are you, John? John, thank you for laying those trees down and not hitting anything. Appreciate that very much. Now, I wanted to share with you that a few weeks before the Mississippi group came, they needed to raise X amount of dollars. I don't remember how much, but they decided to have a spaghetti feed at their church. And someone who's not a member of their church was watching online and watching through Zoom and said, I will match whatever you raise at the spaghetti feed. So anyway, so one Sunday afternoon, they had a spaghetti feed and raised $1,800. So with the matching funds, it was more than they needed to come. As a matter of fact, it was $3,500 more than they needed. So, before Micah left, he said, I want to give the host families something. So I'm going to ask the host families to come up here. And Matt, you come as well. They were so appreciative to all that you did. They wanted to give you something. Now, I told Micah, they're not wanting to receive this. I know that. He said, well, that's why I'm giving it to you. So, Matt, from Micah, thank you so much for your participation. Craig and Janine, thank you so much for your participation. And Isaac, thank you. He not only helped host a family, he came over and helped during the week. Mike and Sandra, I give it to Sandra. Yeah. That's where mine's going. Oh, yeah. Anyway, Larry and Pam, that's from Micah. Now, I told him that they're probably not going to want it. He said, well, do whatever you want to do with it. But he's going to send $2,000 more from the church to help with the school. And so, anyway, what a blessing they have been. And so here's the thing. They want to come back next year. And I told them, next year we're going to be ready for a sports camp. And so they're going to be putting on a sports camp next year. Years past, we did a sports camp when we had about 150 kids at sports camp. Half of them was not involved in church. Okay. Now, there are vacation Bible schools that go on around the community and the county, but practically every one of those vacation Bible schools, all of the children go to church somewhere, as they just rotate. Where they're going to go to vacation Bible school. But this is a tremendous outreach for us. And so he and I will be working together this next year to prepare for sports camp. So you be in prayer regarding that. Also be in prayer regarding their funds that they're going to be needing to come out here. God provided this year for them. I know he'll provide next year for them. And so just be in prayer for Micah and his crew from Macon, Mississippi. Okay, and so appreciate that so very much. Thank you, host families. We couldn't have done it without you. And one of the things that Sandra was responsible for was providing the food and being, she was here practically every day with the food. And you did an excellent job. Thank you, Sandra. Fantastic. We're going to watch a slideshow that Sandra has put together regarding the team that came to minister to us this week. This amazing team came to Oregon, the Life Change Christian Fellowship, to help fulfill a dream, remodel 5 rooms, and create a play area for the Life Change School. Before. They were actually sound asleep. So, what I want us to do is stand up, turn toward the camera, and tell First Baptist Church Macon. Thank you. That's the only way I can remember it. Thank you! They were pretty tired by the end of the week. 2 Sundays ago, I was talking about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I think that was confusing to some people. But it's impossible to live a Christ-like life, and it's impossible to do the works of Christ without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We looked at Acts and how the people in Samaria, they were Christians, but they had not been filled with the Holy Spirit, or been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then here comes Peter and John and prayed for them, and something miraculous happened in their lives. They then had the ability to live a Spirit-empowered life. Now, please listen. Many people want to do the extraordinary things in the Christian life. They want to be able to pray for people, have them healed, raise the dead, heal the sick, cause the blind to see, cause the lame to walk. I would like to do that. Okay? But God doesn't always start with us there. Many times we have to do the mundane things in order to get to where we need to go in our spiritual life, because the Lord has to come to a place where He can trust us with the mundane before He can trust us with the extraordinary. Does that make sense? Matter of fact, did Jesus ever do any mundane things? How many of you would like to wash the disciples' feet? They walk through the sheep gate. You know what the sheep gate is? You know what happens at the sheep gate? Okay, they walk through the sheep gate, and then they go to the upper room, and here we have problems Most of us wouldn't like that, but Jesus took on the role of a servant so that he could show his disciples what it's like to be Christ-like. A lot of times we don't want to do the mundane things, we just want to do the extraordinary things. I'm so grateful to the Mississippi group for doing the mundane. Because if they had not done what they did, it would be impossible for us to go forward with our vision that God has given us of this school. And so let me ask you a question. Which is the most spiritual, doing the mundane things or doing the extraordinary? Exactly. Whatever, whatever you do in the name of Christ is the most spiritual. That's the most spiritual. And please don't wait till you can do the extraordinary things to get involved with what God wants you to do. Start with the mundane. There's a passage of scripture, and actually it's a parable Jesus spoke in Luke 16, 10 through 12. He says this: "He who is faithful in very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the riches, true riches to you? And if you've not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own?" So Jesus shared a parable of it. Then the closing lines, he says this. He says, God is watching to see what you're going to do with what I've given you. And if you're faithful with what I've given you, then he's going to give you more than what you already have. If you're faithful with, let's just say, if you're faithful in reading God's word, and you're faithful in applying God's word, and you're faithful in teaching the word of God to others, then God's going to broaden your understanding and give you more deeper riches, the true riches that are found in God's word, than you had before. Does that make sense? So you use what God has given you. If you have gifts and talents which the Lord has given you, and you apply yourself with those, let's just say that all you can do is pray. Now, that's a pretty big deal. It's a really big deal. Well, that's all I can do. You know, a lot of people that they get older, and they don't know what they can do for the kingdom because they used to be physically, they used to be able to do a lot of things. Now they can't do anything. Do what? I shouldn't hear that. But let me tell you, there's probably no greater work than prayer. No greater work than intercessory. No greater. I'm hoping you're praying for the 10 children that we're going to be having come to our school right now. Okay? We need 10 children as students. Otherwise, Janine will be teaching to herself. But we need 10 students. God has provided everything else. He'll provide that. But we need to pray for them. And God needs to hand select them. Because he knows who needs not only school education, but Christian education. And so we need to be praying for them. I'm praying for them already. Hopefully you are too. There's no greater work, perhaps, than prayer. I remember some years ago, my father-in-law was on his deathbed. And I'm going to go back a little bit. He and his family used to be very involved in church. But he had a son named Lewis, Cynthia's brother, that was riding a motorcycle and was killed when he was about 16 years old. And when that happened, they just kind of withdrew from church, withdrew from the Lord. You've seen it happen. People don't understand the ways of God. People don't understand why bad things happen to good people, especially when you're faithful in doing, and all of a sudden they just kind of withdrew from church and they withdrew from the Lord. I went many, many years later. We were called home to Mississippi to say goodbye to Cynthia's dad. As we got to the hospital, Robert, so he's got 9 living children. And so I was there in the hospital with all of his children, all their children's families, husbands, wives, children. And he would call each one in one at a time. And it became my turn. And so I went in to see Robert. He said, "Brad, I need you to forgive me." I said, "What for?" He said, "Because I've been really upset at you ever since you took my daughter 3,000 miles away." So I said, "I forgive you." And so we had a discussion. I went out. Someone else came back in. And I'm assuming he did that to all the family members. Well, he didn't die. He lived for 2 more years after that. And I know when you get your heart right, it helps the physical too. I know that. Okay. Well, he lived 2 more years. He had some respiration problems. He was in a recliner, had his own oxygen. For 2 years, he would sit in his recliner and he would pray. He would pray for certain people would come to his mind. He would pray. Then he would call them. "How are you doing? I've been praying for you. God put you on my heart." 2 years. He did die 2 years later. And there was not enough room in the sanctuary to hold everyone. He came to his feet. You can make an impact in people's lives, even if you're on your deathbed. But you can't be about yourself. You have to be about what God's wanting to do. I'm so grateful that Robert got his life back on track with the Lord. He touched hundreds of lives during those 2 years he was on his deathbed. Not amazing. Not amazing. He was spirit-led. He was spirit-filled. And he impacted people for the kingdom of God. So even if you say, "Well, you know, I've never killed anybody with my prayers," you don't know what you've done with your prayers. You don't know what you've done with your prayers. And especially if you reach out to them and pick up the phone and say, "Could I pray with you? Could I pray with you?" I'm amazed at the people and I'm sure you've done this too. Somebody's going through a difficult time and, you know, since I'm a pastor, it's my duty to pray for them. "Oh, can I pray for you?" "Sure, you can pray for me." Yeah. So I pray for them. And when I'm done praying, they're crying. The Holy Spirit touches them. He doesn't do nothing for me. But he touches them. He does. He ministers to their heart. He ministers to their spirit. He ministers to their soul. And I can't understand it. I mean, to me, it's just like a blank wall. Yeah, you've done that. You just pray. And what? These are the words I'm supposed to say, I think. And so pray. And God does something. Here's the deal. It's not up to you. It's up to the Holy Spirit through you. And all that we have to do is be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing in our life. And you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's not, there's no magic. It's basically just yielding to and surrendering to the Holy Spirit and letting Him do in you what He wants to do. You know, when I was in at Union Gospel Mission in Portland, so I had a room there. So anyway, I was counseling people with addictive behavior. They gave me a room because I would go over on Monday morning and stay through Wednesday afternoon and do counseling for addictive behavior. And so when there was opportunity for the Lord to work there. And time after time, I would see the Lord working. And sometimes there would be spirits that would leave and, you know, would have to do a cleansing individuals. And I began to think, Lord, and there are demonic people outside the mission. And Lonita, remember, she was there at that time. There were people, and they were screaming and hollering and talking to themselves. And I'm praying, Lord, can I go out and deliver these people? Can I go out and deliver them? He never gave me permission. But that was my heart, was to help them. Never gave me permission. Here's the deal. You just need to do what God tells you to do. You don't need to cross any boundaries. When God doesn't give you permission to do it, it's best not to do it, because then you're doing it on your own strength and you're going to get pulverized. Okay? You just need, Lord, should I pray for this person? Yes, pray for them. Lord, how should I pray for this person? Well, you just start praying and I'll give you the words. That's kind of the way it works. No magic formula. You just begin doing what you know is the right thing to do and let the Holy Spirit catch up. That make sense? It doesn't have to be hard. We make it hard because we really don't want to do what the Spirit tells us to do, because of fear, because of what other people might say. God has a plan, but we can only enter into His plan and in His power when we do what He tells us to do. Okay? So I'm going to challenge you. Will you? Here's the problem. We think about self too much. What are they going to think? Who cares? What does God think? That's who we need to listen to, and that's who we need to obey, and that's who we need to try to please. And I guarantee that if you are a people pleaser, you will never be a God pleaser. We have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And all we need to do is be obedient to the Spirit. The first marker of a disciple is to be forgiven and to forgive. The second marker is to be empowered by the Spirit. And again, no magic formula. You just do what He says. Okay? Pray for it. I told you last week, you need, Jesus said, you know, ask, seek, knock. If you ask, seek, knock, the Father will give you the Holy Spirit. That's what He said. That's what He promises. But I don't feel Him. So what? Just do it. As if He has filled you. Right? That's walking in faith, not by feeling. If you have to wait till you feel it, you'll never do nothing. You just need to do what he says, whether you feel it or not. Well, I don't feel. That's right. Just do it. Doesn't like he said something like that, right? Just do it. You hit the gas pedal. That's right. You just got to do it. So turn to your neighbor and say, just do. God has some remarkable things in store for you, but you'll never experience them until you do it. Right? I'm about to get into my message. But I feel like, Lonita, you have something you need to share. So would you come up here and whatever God has laid on your heart, would just do it. Well, just a minute. We need to get a microphone for you. Because we've got people on Zoom. Yeah. There's no one over 3,000 or 4,000, I'm sure.
Oh, it's so awesome to be here. Like I said, While I walked up here, I don't know if I can do this without crying. So there's rule number one. my heart is overjoyed to be here in this building. Many waters have passed under my bridge through the years. And I have found the Lord to be so faithful. I have found him to be my strength, firm foundation, way maker. And I just can't thank him enough. And when I come into this building, I feel this presence here, and I always have. This is home to me. Brad and Cynthia and Tom and Renee, I met them so many years ago.
I'm really, really close to you.
Really close to me. Okay. I met them so many years ago, and I am so thankful for all the people that God has brought into my life. And I got to share something on the tail end of you know, what Brad's talking about. I went to church in, I lived on Whidbey Island, beautiful place. Ever go there? It's beautiful. Deception Pass, absolutely gorgeous. And there was a little church there that I attended, and God started really working in my heart of what he wanted me to do. And I knew that there was going to be obstacles, but I also knew that he had a hold of my heart and he wouldn't let it go. And I thank the Lord for that, because all I could do is say, thy will be done. Thy will be done. When I asked him, how do you want me to pray? He said, shift and change. Okay, well, I'm here 15 years later, and boy, has there been shifts and changes. But everything has been a firm foundation to build up a body of Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory, because it's Christ in each and every one of us, the hope of glory, that builds up the church.
Right.
We're called out, consecrated, separated, and filled and empowered to do, even if it's just to reach out and touch somebody, especially in COVID days.
Right.
That is so abnormal. I did that last weekend, and I had such a response. It's just a simple gesture, but somebody just melted, and we had a wonderful time in the Lord just by a simple gesture to reach out and touch somebody. So while I'm going to this church, coming back to what I want to say, is the Holy Spirit had talked to me in the morning before I went to the services that morning, and said, you're in the way. I went, okay, what does that mean? And he goes, you're in the way. You overthink. You overdo. I need you to get out of the way. And I said, okay, I'm willing to do that, Lord, but I don't know how. And that Matthew 6:6, ask, seek, and knock. I love that because that's all he asked us to do. He didn't tell us to do it. He wants to do it through us. But are we willing to put it down, our own thoughts and feelings and everything? And so I started to walk a different path than I've ever walked before. And in that path, I have lost a lot of my loved ones along the way. They've gone over to be on the other side. I'm homesick. I'll get to see them one day. And one of those people was my dear Gordy. And he and I attended this church so many years ago. And when I come here, I feel embraced by you all and loved by you all. And I just want you to know how much of an impact that you make into my life. I was so excited to be able to come here and worship with you today, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I want to encourage you. I want to really encourage you to know how important that we really are. The positive light in this world today is huge. People are hungry. They are so thirsty, and they don't know which way to turn. And all we have to do is just care enough to get out of the way and allow God to do what he wants to do through us. It's so simple, and we don't need to make it complicated. If he can do it through me, he can do it through you. And I'm just really thankful to Brad and Cynthia and this group here and all the people that I have encountered. I used to say, Lord, I come from a very small means. And I would say, Lord, I want to have an impact on a lot of people. And I've been kind of isolated the last 5 years. But the Lord has brought me into people's homes, and I've been there. That's why Brad said, where are you? And I go, I don't know. I'm at Tom's and Renee's today, and I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow. So, but it's what he's been doing with me. And before my husband passed away, he said, Lonita, I'm going home. But God's got to work for you here. And you do what he asked you to do, and you stay strong. And so I'm really thankful to be able to stand up here. I wouldn't have been able to do that. No way. But I'm really thankful for God's grace. And I'm really thankful for his mercy. And I'm thankful for his forgiveness. And I'm really thankful for his empowerment. And I just can't thank him enough. And so I think that's pretty much it. God bless you all.
Yeah, I think that's a good word for all of us. We just need to get out of the way and just let God do what he wants to do in our lives. God's got something very special for this church. And it doesn't take many to make an impact on the world. There were 11 that Jesus impacted. Impacted the world. It doesn't take many, but it takes people who are willing to surrender to the Lord and just do what he says. We're going to close. I'll preach my message next week. Come back. So I want to pray for you, but also if there's anyone here who does not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, then make that known to me. Put that in the communication box. I will reach out to you. Okay? You feel like that you're still not getting connected with the Holy Spirit. There are people here who can pray for you and with you so that you can connect in a greater way. Father, I come before you today. You're a good, good God. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our midst. I thank you again for the Mississippi group. Lord, when I pray blessings upon them, I believe that you're going to bless them. And they have blessed us. Lord, you said in your word, give and it will be given unto you. So Lord, they have given sacrificially. And I pray, God, that you would give to them out of your abundance. Lord, for all of those here today who have sacrificially given when they didn't have the means to give, I pray, God, that you would bless them. Increase what you've given them. And God, help us to be faithful to you in our works and in our ways. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.